But if you close your eyes.
Hi, everyone. It's episode 5 of All Talk No Balk. I'm Heather.
And I'm Charles.
Hi, Charles. How are you this morning? It's a crazy week.
It's been a very crazy week, to say the least, but we're here. We've got a lot going on. It was a great week for baseball. A lot of things that went down, you know, a lot of games that weren't played, but we still had a great week. A lot of other teams played well, and we're excited to get down into it. So why don't you start us off with the things everyone's been talking about, the meme, the confrontation, the battle, Joe Kelly versus the Astros.
The non-hitting of players. Yes, Charles. Well, so obviously the biggest news story of the week is the hashtag free Joe Kelly, the Joe Kelly incident versus the Astros. And we saw this in the game one of the two-game series in which Joe Kelly threw, a ball got away from him twice. One of them was versus Alex Bregman, who obviously is a big part of the cheating scandal, and the other one was versus Carlos Correa, is also a big part of the cheating scandal. So the ball got away from him. One of them was a slider to Carlos Correa, so you can't really fault him for a slider. Those balls just sometimes get away from guys, but the one that was turned behind Alex Bregman's back is the one of interest. And, you know, it didn't hit him. It didn't hit either player. Let's just keep that in mind. Then eventually, to fast forward again, Carlos Correa struck out and Joe Kelly got out of that inning. And Joe Kelly, they walk off and there were some words exchanged. And of course, now the meme is Joe Kelly's pouty face, which I love. And so they had some snippy words shared between the two of them. And then benches cleared, but you can't even say that nowadays because there was no contact. So it's just words, no aggression. This isn't the Puig years, although sometimes I wish it was. And because of COVID rules, they have certain regulations that they have to follow. So nobody was hurt. There were just words exchanged. But the big outrageous part of the whole thing is that the order, I guess, came down from the higher ups that Joe Kelly was to be suspended 8 games, which in a 162 full game season converts to 22 games. That's the translation there. So that's a ton for not hitting and just using your words strongly, I guess. So obviously all of MLB Twitter was going crazy. It's, in my opinion, super unfair. We've seen players actually hit other players in the past and they get a lesser sentence, shall we say. So he's appealing that. And of course, along with that, Dave Roberts got suspended for 1 game, but that's just sort of regulation for this season. Basically the problem, Charles, with the whole thing is the Astros were suspended 0 games for actually doing the cheating, and yet the anger from them doing the cheating gets punished. I think that's backwards.
That's horribly backwards. How does Joe Kelly get a combined suspension that is more than all of the Astros put together? That makes no sense.
Right. It makes no sense. Of course, I am watching my language on this podcast, but if I could use certain choice words, I certainly would. So it's a bad situation all the way around. It's not a good look for the sport. I think Rob Manfred is doing a good thing, but really it's recognizing the cheaters and supporting them. And of course the Dodgers, I could go into it for hours. They always get the second string. You feel like the Dodgers never get the break. And when is the other shoe going to drop anyway? When will the Dodgers get their ultimate revenge? If not by using your words, how can they make their voices heard? They were cheated out of a title. That's the reality of it. Some of them might never win a title in their careers. That's the reality of it. So, you know, we hope that they do. We hope that the Kershaws of the world finally pull it through. But my gosh! They did everything that they could to be civil and yet make their voices heard. And Joe Kelly wasn't even a Dodger at that time. He was a Red Sox, but they also got eliminated by the Astros.
Yeah, the Red Sox played them in the ALCS. Yeah, and that division that year. So it's
a mess all the way around. And we hope we hope that the other shoe drops. And however that happens, I don't know. But I want the Dodgers to get their retribution that they so deserve on behalf of all the teams in baseball that don't cheat to win. So that's what I'll say about that and keep it as civil as I possibly can. But now we're going to switch gears. And of course, COVID is, on everybody's brain as the season sort of hangs by a thread, it seems like. And a big part of that is the Marlins outbreak. So Charles?
Yeah, I did want to go in. You were talking about, you know, Correa firing back, and I didn't understand, you know, so you struck me out, so what? It was like, well, yeah, that's how baseball works. And then he said, you know, if I had hit a home run, I'd be rounding the bases right now. So his comebacks were horrible.
Oh, he's going to
be kind of a weird guy. And he's with Manfred, he may be an Astros fan. He may be a Giants fan. I'm honestly baffled at this whole situation because, like you said, he's condoning cheating and just – give that retribution to a pitcher after not even hitting someone and not do anything. It's the Patriots all over again, in my opinion.
The Patriots.
But to COVID, the Marlins are now postponed until Sunday, as we know, and the Yankees were able to play a couple days ago, which I'm glad for them, but it's just a horrible situation that we had up to 10 players who tested positive for COVID. And a lot of these guys, it was rumored, knew that they had COVID before the game and wanted to play because they didn't want to sacrifice any games or not get paid for anything. So if those rumors are true, that is horrible. We have to take player safety at the forefront of this issue right now. We can't have any of these players getting it as well as their families. That's the main thing that we need to focus on is that, yeah, a lot of these players might get it and may be asymptomatic. But who are they going to give it to? You know, it may be someone in their organization that's an older person. It may be their grandmother. It may be an uncle, anyone that they might know that they could pass it on to. And it's just very selfish to play that way. And now, you know, why didn't anyone have like a plan for when this was set? The MLB just reacted to it. And I think that's another slip up by Manfred. He didn't plan for a small outbreak to happen, and then they had to come back and go with the doubleheader with 7 innings. And that rule change is going to be a total mess now, because with doubleheaders, pitchers are going to be totally thrown off by having to go longer games now, and they're going to have to do a weirder rotation with these guys in order to make sure that none of them get hurt. So it's just a whole thing revolving around player safety right now, and I don't know why these players aren't required to wear breathable masks right now, because baseball is definitely a sport where you can wear a mask and you can play.
Oh, it's sure.
Like basketball, where, you know, you're moving all the time and you wouldn't really, it would be flying off of you all the time. But with baseball, you're running 90 feet most of the time. So I think that you can keep the mask on for that amount of time and you'll be okay. So I'm super confused as to why the Marlins didn't make any precautions and Manfred just did a horrible job in this situation. And I think that for the Marlins, baseball could be over. If they don't play their cards right, they could be looking at some sort of weird suspension from this season. It could happen because of how many games they've already missed. It's a shortened season. And if you miss a week and a half, you might just be cut from the regular season. And I think that's something that a lot of baseball fans wouldn't care about. The Marlins were the least chance to win this World Series. It's still at 8%, but oh no, that was to make the playoffs. But still, making the playoffs at 8% is still pretty darn low. And I think that baseball fans are okay with that. And I think that with the doubleheaders, at least we'll be getting more games. I just feel bad for the players right now. But you know, we've had a number of players that went off this week, which I'm glad to say we have. A lot of guys who are still focused and still focusing on their craft. And that's something that we need right now is ball players who are going to shine. And man, did Shane Bieber shine in his last two outings. 14 combined innings pitched, tying a record of 27 strikeouts, 0 earned runs, only 7 hits. the man is dealing for the Cleveland Indians. And I just don't think anyone can hit him right now. What do you think, Heather? I mean, only 7 hits, but nothing can combine and get a run in. So I don't know if anyone's able to get things going versus him.
Right. You know, if we recall a few episodes back, I did say that Cleveland was a sneaky playoff contender due to their starting pitching. And I sort of got laughed off this podcast. Well, the other shoe dropped, and Shane Bieber's dealing, as I thought and almost knew he would. They have a great pitching.
I didn't hear any Bieber comments. I will give you the Indians.
Bieber.
You said nothing about Bieber. It was all
okay, fine. Well, I did say they're starting pitching staff. And, you know, it's great to see, though. You know, it's great for a franchise that has the longest playoff drought since the Cubs ended their 108 one. Longest World Series drought, excuse me. I think it's at 71 years. I'm not positive on that. It's something like that. 1948, I believe, is their last World Series win, if I'm not mistaken.
72 years now.
Jeez. 72. Yeah, it's a lot. But I just want to say quickly, going back to the COVID thing, you know, this season, I don't just think the Marlins would be I think the season would end if players continue to sort of shirk the rules, especially on the road. We're seeing.
Definitely could happen.
So I'm a little worried about the season, but that's why these Shane Bieber performances are so special, because we don't know how many of them we're going to get. So it's great to see. And then that's
optimistic too, really fast. I'm hoping it's just the Marlins, but you're totally right. It could be the whole league. We're already down to 60 games. They could just throw it away. It's been done before.
Right. It's been done, you know, not like this, but I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. I love that for the Indians. I think they're a franchise that sort of, they don't know about Francisco Lindor. They don't know about a couple of different players on their roster, where they're going to go. And, you know, they lost so tragically to the Cubs. From their perspective, it was tragic. So I'm happy for them. And then, of course, we have our blooper of the week, which I'm excited to talk about. Yes, there's a lot of Dodgers on this week's agenda, but so be it. This week's blooper of the week is Chris Taylor running it out to first and running right into the backside of Pablo Sandoval, who is a big man. It was scary. I saw it live. It was scary. It looked like he might get whiplash or something. He was sort of thrown back.
It didn't taste that good neither.
Yeah. Not just tasting. But also, it was a fluky play. Nobody was at, this wasn't any ill will on anybody's part. But yeah, we're glad that Chris Taylor's okay. And it was just a very funny blooper, but I'm sure not funny for him.
Thoughts and prayers to his tomato juice bath after that for his face. Because he probably needed it. Oh my gosh. I don't mean to get, but I mean, it just looked like he hit dead center. Right in the back of Pablo Sandoval. And I bet that wasn't fun for him at all, you know, but he makes our blooper of the week, unfortunately. Sorry, Chris. A lot of Dodgers, some funny, some infuriating in a way.
Some really agonizing.
For Dodger fans, the woes continue, and it's going to be interesting to see if Manfred can finally get it right on the Dodger side for these fans. That's going to be it for this segment. We're going to be on to your take, our take.
Thank you, guys. We got this, Charles. We got this.
All right.
We're good. Let's go.
Welcome back to All Talk, No Balk. It's time for your favorite segment and ours. It's your take, our take. We got two very special guests joining us today, bullpen representatives themselves. We got Reese Savoy in the bottom left-hand corner, both new hires as well. Andrew Luna in the bottom right. They're working a lot with helping out with graphics, doing a lot for our team, helping with the podcast. They're everywhere. They're our utility guys. They're everywhere. So we're so happy to have him with the bullpen, and we're super excited to have him on the show. So we are introing our first take which is, what annoys you the most right now about baseball with the current climate? Reese, we'll kick it over to you. What do you got for us?
I mean, I think that this one's not going to come as a surprise to anybody. We're talking the Joe Kelly suspension. Honestly, in my opinion, I think that the punishment he received is really excessive, especially given the fact that none of the Astros players received anything resembling a suspension, you know, with everything that had happened. And I feel like it's just sending a bad message, you know. Seems like Manfred is like protecting the cheaters, and, you know, cheaters aren't facing consequences, but, you know, Joe Kelly is. And, you know, the fact that he's suspended for 8 games in an already abbreviated season, every game is counting, what, 2.5 times more than it normally would. It just seems like an excessive punishment, in my opinion. So I'm not too stoked about what's going on in that regard.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. So, yeah, Kelly
earlier in the podcast, as we know, you know, she's not happy with the Manfred situation.
Nobody's happy. Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, first, Reese's point was also on my list of annoyances. I definitely don't agree with the Joe Kelly situation.
Sure.
Piggybacking off of that, I think the thing that bothers me most is the public animosity between the players and the owners. All the stuff that's coming up in the last few months with the labor disputes and all that has really kind of like aired out their dirty laundry to the public. And now everybody can see kind of how bad these negotiations are and how bad these relations are between the employees of the MLB and the owners and how they're treated. And I just kind of think it's alienating the players and alienating the fans. It's not really sending a good message for the sport, who's trying to grow.
There's a lot of bad blood because of the money over this season. And, you know, I don't know if we'll recover from it this season. It's definitely going to take some time, and owners are starting to get on the right side of a lot of situations. So hopefully they can get on the right situation of this one, and the MLBPA can bond with them in the next season. Heather, what about you? What annoys you most?
Oh, gosh, so much. We already talked about Joe Kelly, but both Andrew and I are Dodger fans, so this hits home for so many reasons for us. I'm going to go with, this is more a general one, just in the zeitgeist of sports. The lack of knowledge and or interest from ESPN broadcasters in baseball. I just think the world maybe is more, or at least this country is more basketball, football focused. Mm-hmm. And baseball sort of is kind of left in not a great place with them. Just, it's sort of, you know, a side thought, an afterthought. And I don't like that because it's my favorite sport. But I guess the ESPN broadcast in particular I'm thinking about was the one where they spoke to Matt Chapman, the Oakland A, during Dustin May's outing. This was opening day, and they just spoke to him the entire time that Dustin May was pitching, pretty much. And they've ceased to recognize his stuff, and he's a rookie, and it was exciting for him. And I just feel bad because it's like, we don't need to be talking to an Oakland A right now. This has nothing to do with him. So I guess the general sort of misalignment with how I feel about baseball and how like ESPN projects it. I don't know.
It's a divisional game, and they're coming out with the wrong division. They're going out the AL West, not the
right.
NL West. And it's
right.
It's a Giants Dodger game. It didn't make any sense to me either, Heather. And what doesn't make any sense to me, I'm going on the announcers as well, is how these announcers can't make these games more entertaining. I'm watching baseball games, and man, that annoys me. They can't even get hitting substitutions right. I was watching the game last night, and they were talking about, I think they said Paul Goldschmidt was up to bat, and it was a completely different person that they had no idea who was subbed in. And this is not the first time that it's happened this season. It seems like everyone's just on airplane mode, and no one can, you know, get some entertaining voices. I mean, where's Vin Scully when you need him right now? That's the kind of guy that we need to have in the booth. I know, I'm sorry to bring up old memories. They're good memories though. It's bittersweet. And I just think that these announcers right now, with COVID and no fans in the stands, it's up to them to make these games more entertaining besides the hitters and the pitchers that are on the field if it's, you know, a 1-0 game.
Right.
So now let's get into our second segment. What's something that you're looking forward to when
the
goes back? When COVID's over, we could go back to the stadium. What's one thing that you're looking forward to, Reese?
I just have to say the atmosphere in general, going to baseball games has always been one of my absolute favorite things. My best friends and I go every single season a couple times, and just the memories we've made, the times that we have while we're there, like the whole thing in itself is an experience. So I'm just excited to get back in the stadium, be surrounded by fans, feel the hype. You know, it's different watching it through a screen as opposed to being there physically. So I'm just super excited to be back and really be in on the action.
Sure. That's a good one. What about you, Andrew?
I think something along the similar vein. I, like you said, I'm a Dodger fan, so I'm there all the time. Especially in the last 7 years when they've been in the playoffs, I haven't missed like a year of at least going to one playoff game. I actually made it to a game of each World Series that they're in, and that was like some of the best experience I've ever had. So just being there, and then I already had my plans to go to the All-Star game, so I'm waiting for that to come back in 22. And then just being able to kind of boo the other team, boo the Astros, because like this whole Joe Kelly situation, it would have been so great if it was with fans. Granted, it was in Houston, so it may not have been so hostile. But when they come back in September, it would be great to have them have the fans in there with the game.
Sure.
I don't know where the boos and the cheers are at right now, Andrew. They said that they were coming, but I don't hear anything. So
I don't know. They haven't programmed those buttons yet.
the crowd noise is another little bit of annoying part. They haven't figured it out, but they will. I want to play off that. I'm looking forward to the Dodgers Astros series of 2021 when they're due to play them in more normal series, because the West is supposed to play the West. So I'm looking forward to that series a lot, but I'm also, I think that baseball is lacking. Like, the cardboard cutouts are cute that we see, but I think it's lacking a bit of spirit, and the announcers are a part of it, certainly. But I think a bigger part of it is just, we're not like getting the hype of, you know, when your favorite player makes a great defensive play or somebody runs the bases really well. Just the little things. I'm looking forward to the fans' reactions. I also love to make like friends when I go to Dodger Stadium, like as in just kind of being on the same side and that camaraderie. I'm looking forward to that again, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to going to games again and seeing the players respond well to the fans being in the stadiums. So yeah, what about you, Charles?
Speaking of spirit, Heather, I mean, you talked about the fans not being able to be there. A lot of the players that have opted out this season aren't able to be there as well. So we're missing a lot of talent that we're used to seeing out on the field. I'm looking forward to having these guys come back and really dominate like we're used to seeing. You know, Ian Desmond is taking a great stand, but he's also a great ball player, and I'd love to see him get back onto the field and get back out there in the outfield for the Rockies. So it's going to be awesome to see a lot of these people who have taken a stance on the issues that they believe in come back and give back to their sport as well. And I'm looking forward to some of those fantastic Fridays and spectacular Saturdays at Dodgers and Angel Stadium. You know, I would always go to those games on the weekend looking for fireworks. And that's something that annoys me a little bit too. You know, with no fans in the stands, why can't we pop off some fireworks at the end of some of these games and make it more entertaining?
Because that'd be nice.
There's nothing else going on. So why can't you just pop some? It's not like anyone's going to get hurt down below. There's nobody there. So I'm looking forward to Ian Desmond, Buster Posey, Juan Soto, who's out from COVID or opting out. So just some of these guys who were used to seeing so beloved and so great at their game to come back. So that's what I'm most looking forward to. And I think that's it for our segment today. Thank you so much, Reese and Andy, for coming in. Very smooth. Very great job, and we look forward to having you guys back on. You're our regulars, so thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Look forward to coming back.
Take care. That's it for us today at All Talk No Balk. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We got a lot of new play-by-plays for you next week. a lot of different news. We hope you enjoyed our topics for today. What annoys you, what you like, what you're looking forward to. And Heather's going to give you the topic for next week, for next week's episode 6 podcast.
Yes, we are very excited. Potential feel-good playoff stories. That is a topic. Which team do you think will be the best Cinderella story? And it's early, but it's not too early to project, which is what we do all the time. So we're really excited for that. We want to thank Reese and Andrew again. They're new to our team. We love working with them behind the scenes. We loved working with them here. And we'll see them a lot more. So you'll see their lovely faces more. But next week, we have an interview set up. We're going to keep it a surprise, but that's a little sneak peek. So our first interview with a affiliate of MLB. We were really excited about that. So stay tuned and thank you so much. And all the information for following us and contacting us. We love to hear your guys' opinion and we love to hear a critique too. So send us all. That'll be at the end of this. And if you're listening on Spotify, that'll be in the description. So that's all for today. And I think, Charles, anything else?
I think you covered everything, Heather. Make sure you follow Reese and Andrew. Amazing job, as Heather said. Thank you so much for coming on. We hope to see you back. And we're going to have a lot more regulars on the show, just like you guys. Thank you all for tuning in to All Talk, No Buck.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
But if you close your eyes.